told you to say it again. Yes, Bill McNutt, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Oh, bread of heaven.
Hallelujah. Oh, do you want to be filled up tonight, church?
Present. I want no more.
Oh, here's my cup. Fill up and make me whole. I want you to sing it one more time. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Give him a hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you come to get your cup filled up? Well, we've got 14 that come to get their cup filled up. How many of you just come tonight, just come to church because you wanted to come to church? Because there's something drawing you to the house of God. Now, how many of you got a cup and you'd like to get it filled up tonight? Why don't you just say, praise the Lord? Why don't you just say, fill this cup up, Lord? Give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him tonight. He's worthy. Amen.
Oh, fill my cup, Lord.
Something tonight, if he would come and fill our cup, we would leave here a brand new human being. I'm talking about we would leave here on fire, full of zeal, full of the Holy Ghost. How many of you like to leave here that way tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, we had one that just crossed over this past Sunday, Brother Dale Potter. He was in his element. Just had finished preaching the word of the Lord that morning, getting ready for Sunday night service. And the Lord said, well, why don't you just come on home? You've labored hard. Why don't you just come on home? Sister Rachel's here tonight. Her father, Brother Dale, Brother George, and the family, they're here tonight. We certainly just want to take this time, Sister Rachel, to say that our heart goes out to you. I know you don't grieve for your father. You grieve for your family and your loved ones. But listen, he's done achieved what you and I are still running to get. He's already achieved it. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Another soldier's made it home. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight. We've got several prayer requests we want to let you know about. Brother Fred, if you get ready to pray over these needs tonight, just in a few minutes. Brother Baker wants us to have prayer for Sister Christine tonight, who's been very sick with muscle spasms and cramps in her legs. Thank you for your prayer. So we want to just commit her to the Lord, ask God to bless her and give her healing in her body. We want to remember Brother Jerry Phillips tonight. I believe he had surgery yesterday, having a few complications from that surgery. Please remember him in prayer. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jerry that the Lord would just be mindful of him, let him receive his healing, get a speedy recovery. I want to continue to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely. She's having a stress test on Monday. Also continue to remember Brother Bert as he's still in pain from surgery. So let's pray for those folks tonight. Brother Jerry, Sister Linda Phillips, sister, please pray for the family of Ronnie Jarnigan. Requested that our church pray for him. He's in the intensive care unit and in desperate need of prayer. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Another prayer request here for Brother Jerry Phillips. Brother George Hamlin says an urgent prayer request for my niece, Angela Boyd, has abscess in her mouth that went down past her heart and her lungs. She's having trouble breathing, going into surgery right now. So let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of our sister and let her receive her healing. Let her receive a speedy recovery. May the doctors be able to find out what the problem is. We know we're serving that kind of a Savior. He can guide a surgeon's hand. Do you believe that tonight? And this is in regard to Brother Dale Potter, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago. The memorial service for Brother Dale Potter will be Saturday at 2 o'clock in Manchester, Tennessee. Thank you for your continued prayer. So let's just commit that family, that church family, into the Lord and ask God to be with them. This is another prayer request for Sister Angela Boyd. Brother George sent that in. This may be a little bit more recent. She may need more surgery to remove the infection. So whatever her situation is, let's just pray that the Lord would work it all out. I want to pray for Sister Victoria Thomas, that God will give her strength. She's going through quite a bit right now, under a lot of stress, cannot sleep. Pray for her and her family. So let's remember those folks tonight in prayer. I want to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence, having complications in her lungs, needs prayer for her healing. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. I want to remember Sister Linda Maxwell in prayer. She has two fractured ribs and quite a bit of pain. So let's pray for her recovery tonight, that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Ruth Ann Carter sends this in to please continue to pray for Brother Max's brother, John, on the verge of kidney failure. Also pray for the salvation of his two sisters, Fran and Emma. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight in this group, we're serving a prayer answering God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, it's the truth. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Brother Fred, if you'd come, take us to the Lord. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. We know He's more than able. Certainly appreciate Brother Fred, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you.
God bless you.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I know what it's like to come to church and not feel very well. It's work today and don't feel very well myself. So let's bow our heads and take these prayer requests into the Lord. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we come expecting, Father, that you, Lord, could move in our lives. Father, we stand here as mortal beings, reaching out, Father, to become immortal. We stand here tonight, Father, as we hold up these prayer requests in our hands, Lord, for each broken body of a soldier, of a child of God, Lord, laboring to get better. And Father, you took the stripes upon your body that we could be healed. And let us reach out and grab that faith tonight, Lord. as all the prayers that go up together, Lord, let them become one and be unified. And let it, Father, reach into you, into your throne, that it will move you from your throne, that you will have compassion upon your children. Father, we ask you to come into our midst tonight and be welcomed. Come, Father, and help us, Lord, to learn your word, that we might be able to walk in this dark and evil world that we live in. Father, it's getting so dark. But Lord, we see light just on the other side. If we could just reach to that spot, Father. Father, if you would just come one more time and pass by. Heal our bodies one more time, Lord, before this is all over with. We'd be so much thankful for it. Father, we ask you to bless our pastor and bless the ministers that are standing around. Bless those, Father, up on the fields tonight, Lord, laboring for your work and laboring for your word, Lord. Father, we ask you that you would have the preeminence in their lives and in their ways. Father, that you could be glorified in this dark and evil world. That's our prayer. Bless those that have to stream tonight, Lord. They would love to be in a service, Lord, and I would love for them to be here too. But Father, you know the situations and the circumstances, Lord, that sometimes hinder us, Father. So, Lord, just reach out among the waves, Lord, and touch those, God, all around the world, Lord, as we come together, Lord, in unity and peace. May you bound us, O God, in that bundle of life called Jesus Christ forevermore. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Fred. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Well, we're still in the book of Acts. We're still living as people in the book of Acts. We're still here, aren't we? We're still fighting the fight, aren't we? But what will it be when we all get over yonder? You want to sit down and talk to Paul? How was it, Paul? What happened in your time? Or Peter, what happened in your time? John, what happened in your time? But they'll want to hear what happened in your time. Where did you come from? Come out of Laodicea. Holy smokes, you made it? You made it out of Laodicea? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. You made it, Brad. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song tonight. What will it be when we get over yonder? Church, we're fixing to have the time of our life. When the time of this old life is over, we're fixing to have the time of our life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I can't wait. Look at somebody and say, are you going with me? Are you going with me? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never
be.
We'll meet our loved ones. see the face of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Before whose image other loves are. You want to be there, 'cause this is just what heaven means to me.
Well,
what will it be
when we get over yonder and join the
throngs upon the glass?
Until that time that we gather there, we're working on a building. It's got a sure foundation. Christ don't build junk. The next time the devil looks at you and talks to you and whispers to you that you ain't nothing, you ain't nobody, you can't go, you remember this. You read the back of the book. You know where he's going, and you know where you're going. He loses, you win. He loses, you win. Somebody say it's the truth. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. For my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a sinner,
oh,
I'd tell you what I would
do.
I'd quit all my sinning and start working on a building too.
We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. For my Lord, for Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. For my Lord, for my Lord. Well, if I was a preacher,
I'd tell you what I would do.
Well, I'd keep right on a preaching. God bless you tonight. Thank you for singing so good, for your participation. God bless you. This makes it so much more fun and so much better when you all just sing. Amen. I believe the Lord just smiles on you when you really get into the service. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. We have a couple of songs. Brother Chuck, where's Brother Chuck at? Is he here? He's here somewhere. Brother Chuck. There he comes. No, that's Brother Brandon. Where's Chuck at? He's younger than all of us.
Just about it. He's coming, though. There he comes. I want you to give these. I told Brother Brandon, I said, look, if you ain't got nothing better to sing, nothing that you want to sing over that, we're going home. The Holy Ghost just likes that song. It just gets in it. So I don't know what he's got for us tonight, but let's give these singers, these are two great brothers right here. Give them a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
Try.
Never
pass out some cheat sheets here. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to try one. My brother requested me do. I'm actually not sure if he's here tonight. Brother Aaron McCoy, I don't know if he's here or not. Some of these songs are way out of my skill level, but I'll try it. Y'all help me. Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I sit on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. Right now. Now I just can't. It's easy to sing, but there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. For good things, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt. It all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days. Jesus, I know you can. I know you're able. I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know.
Happy to be a Christian tonight.
Amen.
Privileged to be able to serve the Lord and live for Him in this terrible, terrible day of darkness. God, by His grace, has shined on us. Help us to see the truth. Not only see the truth, but I am the truth. I'm part of the truth family.
Amen.
Don't let that offend you. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm part of the truth family. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn tonight to the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, verse 1. Let's continue with the book of Acts, shall we? And I warn you before we get started now tonight, it's going to be rough. Not the preaching, but what they're going to go through. The book of Acts is not just shouting, singing, jumping, signs, wonders. It's storms, difficulties, trouble, personal trouble, church trouble, message trouble. That's right. That's part of the book of Acts. Now, Paul has been released, of course, from Porcius Festus, from Agrippa. Now he's going to be assigned to a ship. Let's read together. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship, Avadramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. You know, when I read this verse, I realize it must have been the Spirit of God that moved on this heathen man's heart. He's a Roman. He's not a Christian. He doesn't know anything about Christianity. But you wonder if God could do that on one man's heart. Why couldn't He do it on everybody's heart about His people? So if He doesn't, there must be a reason that He doesn't. Apparently, He doesn't want everybody liking us. Apparently, everybody that don't see what we see is not going to really think you're the greatest person on the earth. But when He wants to, He can be able to move on people's hearts in our favor. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, if we've assembled ourselves together here tonight, Lord, under the auspices of the presence of God, we've come tonight, Lord Jesus, that once again we might be able to sing and clap our hands and worship and pray and hear Your word. You see our needs as we've gathered here tonight, Father. We say it so much that we are a needy people, but we don't say it to necessarily magnify our needs alone, but to create an opportunity by which You can come by Your power and minister to our needs. So we've gathered here tonight again for that same purpose, believing, expecting that You're going to come among us. Take these passages of Scripture, these events which happened over 2,000 years ago, may we learn by them, Father. May we see the spiritual parallel and the spiritual symbolism that will come out of it, that we'll be a better people when we leave this place tonight. Anoint us, I pray, Father, by Your divine presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This ship is carrying corn. When they load their final passengers with Paul, Luke, and these other prisoners, they're going to have 276 people on board. They're going to head out in the wrong time of the year. The tides and the winds are not going to be favorable. God is going to inspire His servant to try to warn them to delay. But they, like many people, are going to think a preacher is dumb. And they're going to think, since a preacher ain't a boatman, and the preacher don't know nothing about sailing, he needs to mind his own business. And they're going to do what they think that they should do. Ah, but they're going to regret it. Now, as it starts the journey, everything seemingly is going well. They are boarding this ship, which is a grain ship, coming from Egypt, going to Rome. Now, of course, Egypt was a great place to where that they was able to grow all kinds of grain, corn, barley, wheat, different things. And they're going in this ship, and for whatever reason, it comes down on the horn of the land of where they are, and they catch this ship. Now, the Romans themselves had galleys by which they used, but for the most part, they were not used for transporting prisoners and passengers, but it was for fighting and for defense. So they hire this ship, and they hire passage, and they're going to find place on this ship, and they're going to take these prisoners to Rome. God has provided a way for his prophet. Now, I imagine these people, whenever they find out who this guy is and where they're going, they probably didn't have much liking to a preacher on board. They probably didn't really think much about it, carrying a preacher on board. They're going to find out this is the most valuable passenger they could have ever carried. It ain't going to take but just a few days that they're going to realize when you're riding with a man of God, it could mean your safety. Amen. That's right. Now, notice this, that whenever God gives Paul favor in Julius' eyes, and Julius, this Roman soldier from the Augustus band, actually allows Paul privileges and certain things by which he's able to receive benefit. Look at this again in verse 3. And the next day we touched at Sidon. Now Sidon, of course, was a very great import city just right up from the land of Israel, of the Phoenician place. And it was one of great maritime. It was one of great shipping. And there was a place that had been known for many, many hundreds of years. So they come across there. But what I marvel about is not so much that Sidon was there. But what I marvel about is that whenever Paul and them goes through, Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and whoever the other believers there are on board, that somehow the gospel had already beat Paul there. Now, I don't know exactly how it got there, because historically, I've not been able to find who it was that took it there, but there was already friends of the word in the city of Sidon. So if God was able to get people the message into Sidon, he can get it to Johnson City. He can get it to Knoxville, he can get it to Nashville, he can get it to Edmonton, he can get it to wherever it needs to be got. Now, somehow or another, they were aware of this, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now, as I mentioned to you last Wednesday night, I pray that by the grace of God, we can be these kinds of friends in the gospel. That we would be able to be ones that was, I termed it, I think, a 7-Up Christian. That we would have this bubbling, overjoying inside of us, and we would not constantly be a desert or a sponge Christian. We're that type of one that drains people dry. But we want to have this effervescence about us to where we are bubbly, we are full of joy, amen, and people enjoy being around us. Ain't that what you desire to be? That we can have this joy of Jesus Christ so bubbling in our hearts that people will long to be around us. They know that they're not going to get depressed. They know that they're not going to feel worse after spending 30 minutes with you. But they know that by the grace of God, somehow you're going to help them and you're going to make them feel better.
Amen. Now, I believe myself that God puts people like this in the pathway of every child of God, not just the prophets and not just the preachers, but God puts people like that in our path by which we can be able to be blessed and helped by them. And you know what? They may not think much about it, but at the day of judgment, when they stand before God, every one of those things that they've done for you was written down in a book, and it may be on your behalf. Have that God will allow you to speak for them at that day. Now, God has given him favor in the eyes of this man, as it was in a similar way when Potiphar had looked upon Joseph and Joseph found favor in his eyes. Aren't you glad God can still do that? The same thing that had happened, of course, with Felix, and the same thing had happened with a Roman centurion, Lysias, that had happened before. So we see all along Paul's captivity, and the time of his imprisonment, the grace of God has been there. You know, I just can't keep from believing, friends. If the more aware we are of the grace of God, I so thank God that God had Luke to write about these things that would seem natural and carnal in one way. But to me, I see the supernatural hand of God in every one of these stages in Paul's journey, because we can see the hand of God is with him even though he's suffering great distress. Really, can't we see the same thing in our lives when we go through trials and tests and sickness and difficulties, and we look at it in the same sensible, balanced way, and we're able to see, well, you know what? God was with me there, and God helped me there, and God helped me there. So after all, I wasn't alone. After all, he was with me the whole time that I was going through that. Now, notice the benefit that God allows this man to be to Paul. And no doubt it was needful. We know when God allows this to happen that we either need it currently or God is preparing us for a future time when we're going to be drained out. Now, Luke does not really say where Paul is in this stage, whether Paul is going through a kind of a low time. You believe what you want to about Paul. I believe that Paul was a man just like you and I. I believe Paul had down times. I believe Paul was afraid. I believe Paul had times when he was oppressed, Brother Jim. I know he had times he was sick, he was naked, he was down, he was weary. Paul had times he was just like you. Come on, don't make angels out of these people. They were human beings just like us. They had times that they did not know what to do. They had times that it looked like there was no way out and no hope for them in the situation they were in. And God done them just like he does us. He gives us strength along the way. Now notice again, and I mentioned to you that Luke is one of the more educated writers of the New Testament. Certainly more educated than was Peter. We know Peter was an ignorant and unlearned man, but yet somehow actually receiving the Holy Ghost, God inspired Peter to be able to write. And the man actually wrote some pretty good things when you look at the education that he seemed to learn in a pretty short, quick time. But Luke was quite different in that Luke was trained under some Greek influence and Gentile influence. You can tell that about his mannerism and the way that he begins to write. So Luke also wrote, and his understanding either of the natural life was pretty broad, because as we look at what Luke is going to say about how they sailed and the way they done it, actually Luke writes in maritime language. So it wouldn't be like me, because I don't understand nothing about the sea other than it's big and deep and I'll stay out of it. But Luke didn't write that way. You know, Luke, he's going to write about things that a sailor would have been able to relate to. Luke is going to write about things that someone that would have sailed the seas at this era of time, that they would have related to it. So he was a man that was quite diverse in his education and his understanding. Now remember that God is not allowing this just to fill pages in the book of Acts, but God wanted written in such a way that he would have Luke to write down certain cities, and their journey can still to this day be traced on ancient maps and prove that they went this certain path. God does that sometimes. You know, God many times in his word, he wants us to believe it simply because he says it. Other times, God will have evident and evident and evident and evident, and you got to be just about a fool not to be able to look and see. And Luke was one of those kind of men that God used him in his intellect and his ability. And watch now how he's going to start with this journey. When we are launched from thence, now they've left Sidon, they've been there, he didn't really say how long, but we sailed under Cyprus. So now they come from Sidon and they're going down under Cyprus, which is on the bottom side of the continent, because the winds were contrary. That is, they sailed below the island of Cyprus. So here they come from the west or the southwest, and it prevented them from pursuing a direct course. Now watch how Luke is relating this. Now, even this is a maritime speaking on the way that he's going about it. And he says, we was going to go this other way, but because the winds were contrary, so we actually had to go out of our course. Now, this is not directly the way that they would have normally went. But what do you find? So here comes the winds that are blowing contrary. Now, myself, I see two, three things here in what's going on. I see a natural occurrence in that Paul is on the ship and he's going to Rome. But I also see myself in here another symbolism that Paul is in the boat of the church. And the church is going through all of these trials and all these difficulties, and Paul is going to ride through that, and there may be things about it that you go through that you don't understand. There's going to be times in your life that you'll have no idea of how the outcome is going to be, but you'll have to keep believing God's word. Now, notice how Luke, now he goes on with this in verse 5. And he says, when we had sailed over the Sea of Sicily and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. Now, remember, notice how that he's writing all these things. You get your turn over in the back of your Bible if it has maps in the back of it. And you look at Paul's second or third missionary journey. And you can find these cities and watch exactly where they come and sail right up through there. You know what? God wrote his Bible where even the critics will stand on the day of judgment and be without excuse. That's exactly right. So we came to what the city he called Myra, which is the city of Lycia. And Lycia was a province in the southwestern part of Asia Minor, having Phrygia and Pisidia on the north. Now the Mediterranean is on the south, the Pisidia is on the east, Caria is on the west. So Luke is giving a historical and also a maritime account of where these journeys took place. Now I know this is boring to some of you. You're wanting somebody to walk on water and heal the sick and raise the dead. Look, if God wanted this wrote in the Word, there is a significance. There is a significance. It has a value, and it has importance. That's right. So watch out. So they can be followed all along this journey. Now look in verse 6. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria. Now notice here they come, and it's like they're hopping across. So they come from here and they go to there. It's like catching a Greyhound bus or a plane. And you're going from Atlanta to New York, and then you go from there to Amsterdam, and you go from Amsterdam to Paris, and you go from there. So here he's kind of leaving this at the discretion of this Roman leader. So he comes, and watch what he does. He said, there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria. Now, of course, you know Alexandria was in Egypt. Alexandria sailing into Italy. So now they've come into a hub and they've entered the main shipping route. Now, remember the way the earth turns, and the way that our storms come around the earth. Remember the first ancient sailors when they begin to sail upon the earth, even up as far as the time of Columbus. Whenever Columbus looked and he would see how the ships would come in, at that time they believed the earth was flat. But Columbus saw as the top of the ship would come in the mast, and he could see it kept getting taller and taller, and somehow in his mind he knew that the earth could not be flat. If it was, you'd see it and just get bigger this way, but he thought there was an arc on the earth. Now they found out that there was trade winds, what they call trade winds, but they believed because the earth spun around in this direction that once you got around, you'd never be able to get back. Little did they know that if you dropped down below the trade winds, that there was reverse winds that came right back the other way, so there was a coming and a going. A two-lane road, in other words. And how was it coming? By the spinning of the earth, of the way that the Lord God made the earth in the beginning. And when he put it there, even though it was tilted over on this axis of 23 degrees, God still allowed those winds to be there. Oh, he's a great God, isn't he? So if it had only been that one way, then somebody that was sailing from the West Indies to England or wherever more, they could only go one way. So you'd have to go all the way back around the earth again. So it was a very scary thing. But what did they do? It was something driving people. I'm glad I didn't live in that day because ships make me sick to my stomach. So I'm really glad that I don't have to get on one of them boats. But I'm glad there was people like that that had something in them they wanted to look. Aren't you glad? They wanted to go beyond. If not, we'd still be in England. And I sure don't talk like they do. But God moved a upon people, it was an advancement because as man moved, the word, of course, moved right along in synchronization. So you imagine what a great excitement that it was when they actually broke into the winds. It was a very peculiar thing, very odd. Nobody believed it could ever happen. They did not believe. They thought if you got those trade winds, you would totally be lost and you'd never get back. But somehow they broke into the seals. They broke into the wind, and they was able to realize they found the way back home. Amen. They found the way back home, and it was a more direct way instead of the tribulation period, the way everybody else is going in. They could come right back and go this way, and it's the rapture way, a whole lot shorter than the tribulation period. So they was able to find that. Then once they found that, they shared their knowledge with other people. Now, of course, it's common knowledge. Most everybody except, y'all look at me really funny when I'm talking about this. But they found this out, and they broke into what was already there. God did not just make it specially for them. It was there for thousands and thousands of years. It was there, yet it was unknown, and once they found it out, they shared it with others. Well, praise the Lord. That's what happens to us when God illuminates our hearts, and then we broke into the winds that's bringing us back into the presence of God. What kind of wind is it, Brother Donnie? Oh, it's the same wind that come on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The wind of God come in, what was it? Amen. It wasn't the trade winds, because we're not trading at all. But it's the wind to pack us back into the presence of God. Then what do? We want to share it with other people. God illuminates our lives by light, and we want to share it. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch, I'm sure that God knew all these things that's fixing to happen here. As the centurion finds this ship now that's coming from Alexandria. Alexandria, of course, was built by Alexander when he had conquered Egypt. And many, many years prior to this, named after him. So it was a great port city out of there they'd come. So he found passage on there in this boat. So they're coming from one to another. And it appears also that this boat was coming out. It was a public transport as well as being grain. So here they come, and this man gets on there. Now Paul, he's a prophet. Paul is a preacher. Paul really don't have any sailing understanding as we'd say, or wisdom or nothing like that. But in verse 7 it says, when we had sailed slowly many days. Boy, I've been there and done that. Not on the sea now, but in the sea of life. Where you just sail slowly for many days. And it don't seem like you're getting nowhere. It don't seem like you're going nowhere fast. And it's them days when your patience is about that long. When you are in such a hurry to get somewhere, and there ain't no wind blowing, there ain't nothing moving, and you're just barely moving along, and it's hot and dry and humid, and you're in the big fields to do this and that and the other, and yet on the seas of life, it's just so slow and nothing is moving. And Luke said, when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce, were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. Now notice again now how that he's giving us these particulars. We'd sail slowly for many days. Now these is called the Estine Gales. It was from the northwest. So here they come, and these Estine gales were hitting them. Now, it's not that there wasn't any wind blowing them. It was that the wind that was coming against them was so hard, so they had a tailwind as it was, but they had a headwind, which was also coming against them, and they wasn't going nowhere. Those of you that have flown around the world, whenever you fly from the west to the east and you go that way, most of the time you're going to get a tailwind. When you come back the same path, same route, you're going to have a headwind. That's why going over that way, you'll have a certain hour-long flight or however long it is. But when you come back, you can figure 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, sometime 2.5 will be added because of the headwind that you're facing because of the direction the earth spins. So just imagine like this, that you leave out this way and you're flying around the earth this way. You're going with the tailwind. You got a 130-mile-an-hour tailwind, 100 miles an hour. Then it increases your speed, your velocity, and so forth that you're traveling in the air. But you turn right around. Now you're coming back from Johannesburg, South Africa. So instead of going with the tailwind, now you've got a headwind. So you got a 130 mile an hour headwind that's hitting this airplane right in the front. You're still moving along and the jet's going exactly 574 miles an hour, 39,000 feet. But yet there's something that's hindering you. And what is it? It is this headwind that you are facing. Now, you know, we look at it and say, my goodness, how in the world can this be this way? I can't see the wind. I can't touch it. I can't taste it. But somehow or another, we're not getting there. It's faith. Don't you understand that's the way Christianity is? Sometimes we have, as it were, a tailwind and our walk with God, and we're just flying. Oh glory, hallelujah. And then we have to turn and, oh glory, hallelujah, oh glory, glory to God, I'm getting there, hallelujah, hallelujah. And your old jets is just a cranking, amen, and you're just a spinning, and you're doing everything you know to do. You're going, but what's happened? You're heading back the other way, and you got a headwind. It's really hard when you got a headwind when we're so hard-headed. Now, whenever they sail, they are going against the Estine Gales. Let me read this something else to you I found very interesting on this. Which they prevail in the archipelago during the latter part of July and the whole part of August. So they blow really, really strong during this time frame. In other words, it seemed like this is a very poor time to be sailing. So the ship had not been able to go any more than 120 miles that lay between Myra and Sidonis. Now remember, these two things can still be proven today. To reach the latter place of where they are going. Why? Because the headwind, these gales are blowing so much against them. And they're trying to struggle to get through. But you know what? There's just so much you can do. They didn't have no jet propulsion. They did not have no turbine engines. They didn't have a diesel motor. So it was all based on the wind. So you got a good head, you got a good tailwind, but you got a real strong headwind, and it don't seem like that you're getting nowhere. Oh my. Anybody ever been there? You know what? Now, I could be wrong, but I would just say there's probably some of y'all here tonight that's maybe in that situation. You got a pretty good tailwind. You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the message of the hour. You got a pastor. You got evangelists that love you. You got all this going for you. But yet, on the other side, you've got this strong headwind. It's the biggest trouble, man. It's the biggest trial. It's the biggest difficulty. You have been in your life under normal circumstances. You'd be skiffing on top of the waves. I mean, there wouldn't be hardly nothing slowing you down. You say, what in the world's going on? It's the headwind. And you've been there for many days. Now, Sidonis was situated on the neck of the land, on the harbor, with a harbor on this side, so it kind of protrudes out into the ocean. And it was a naval station that was used during this time frame when Luke wrote this, so ships would be able to come to. So here the coast, it tends away, kind of arcs up like this in the archipelago, so it tends up to where the full force of the Estian winds is now hitting this. So here they're coming around, and you've got this little curve in the land, and the Estian winds are coming right around, looping around, and hitting them as they go through the sea. So basically useless for them to try to do anything until this power that's pressing against them is drove away. In other words, the winds change. Now, they succeeded as far as getting as far as Cape Salmon, the eastern point of the island, and there they found some shelter. Now, notice the way that Luke says this. He said, the wind not suffering us. In other words, the wind was so pushing against it. Now, it's not a visible force. It's not, you know, the things that's out there, trees and all that. No, it's just this wind. But this is a pretty good sized ship. It got 276 people on board, plus all this grain. So he said, we sailed under Crete. So they're going to the bottom side. Now he said, hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Oh, now we're all smiling. Oh, don't you love the port of Fair Havens? So they just make it past Salmon, just barely passing it. And then they run into this place on the east end of the island, and it is called the Fair Havens. Now, of course, it got its name. You know that already from me without even telling you, because it was a more pleasant place from the Estian gales and away from what they're fixing to go through. Amen. What they're fixing to head out in the middle of. So it's kind of a spot that anybody could actually winter. Now, what they're doing, they're heading out of the late fall into the winter. And as you know, whenever winter time comes, then on much of the seas, it's a very turbulent, treacherous time. So if this was a place that many of the people would come in and they would harbor. What do you say the name of that was?
Fair Haven's at Happy Valley. Fair Haven's at Evening Light. Fair Haven's at... Really, that's what the house of God ought to be. Amen. You ought to come in from all your work and all your difficulty and everything. Come to the house of God. Just kind of park your little boat there and say, oh my. Listen to that singing. Listen to that music. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to that word. Ain't it good to be in the Fair Havens? You know, you're just kind of in a secluded type of spot. Now, this is the type of place that the Fair Havens actually was. You know, you come in off the tip of where you're in such a difficult time. Many years ago, me and Carol was down in the South Africa, and the brother wanted to do us a favor and take us out on a boat. I'm not much of a boat person myself. But anyway, he wanted to take us out on a boat. I mean, you're right there on the ocean. And I said, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do this or not. Several years ago, I let some brothers talk me into the Gulf of Mexico, and I went fishing down there. I had the wristband. I had the patch. I had the pill. I had everything that you can imagine for nausea. None of it worked. They said I turned green. They let me out on oil rigs, and I laid up on a flat spot. There was a flat spot on the legs of the oil rig about that big. I laid out on it and grabbed it like this and closed my eyes and prayed. Cut my hands all to pieces on the barnacles. They would fish while I vomited. Real fun fishing trip. Now, you know what? I'm just not much of a water guy. But you can imagine now that if you are going through this type of thing, and me and Carol get on this boat, and it don't take me very long to realize, ooh, I made a mistake. Because we're getting out there on the horn, this part of Africa, where them two oceans meet together, and all this turning and jostling going on. And I'm telling you one thing, I didn't get sick, but everybody around me did. I mean, it was absolutely awful. I was praying for the mercy of God to get us back to the shore. Because it was everywhere. But it was amazing. Once you got out of that little harbor, everything just turned into this great convulsion of the waves hitting from the southern tip down there, coming up the eastern side. And it was just absolutely horrible. You pull out of this little harbor. Oh, children, may I say it to you tonight. It's the same way with the message of the hour, setting under a God called ministry, coming to the house of God. You pull away from the Fair Haven. Don't you understand? What you're fixing to get into. You're fixing to get in where time and darkness and all of the prophecies of the end time are racing right together. No wonder the waves are so devastating and so destroying because of the power of the end time. Oh my. Oh hallelujah. Notice this. This place was called by Stephen the geographer, which was a historian, the Fair Shore. Oh, what a place. What a place. Where you just pull in and get a little bit of rest. It don't change the storms, but it just pulls you out of them for a bit. Notice in verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Now listen. Much time was spent. So they're sailing against the wind. They're trying to progress. They're trying to move on. And now this is the fast, which is the first day of the atonement. Now notice the time frame. This helps us place this in the time frame of the winter, which was the grand feast of the Jews. This was when, of course, they afflicted their souls, and it's in memory, the Day of Atonement. Actually goes back to the time that they worshiped the golden calf. That's when the Day of Atonement was instituted. That's why they still do it today, of course. So it goes back to the time of the idol worship of the calf. So they kept it the same time every year. So it's able, now Paul, Luke is referring here in the reference to the time of when it was, on the day they would neither eat, nor drink, nor do any work, nor wash. They was absolutely afflicting their souls. Why? It was a sign of the sorrow of their sin. God, we're so sorry. We're so sorry that we've done this. We're so sorry that our fathers did this and that. So it was a Day of Atonement. Now Luke says, so it was during this time that we're coming down through this dangerous time. They don't bind on their shoes. They don't anoint themselves. It is a time of affliction. They don't read anything but sorrowful scriptures. Jeremiah, Lamentations, and certain psalms that make them feel sad and heavy-hearted. Now you can imagine now, Luke and maybe Paul and them, they're familiar with this, whether or not they actually did this or not. But Luke is quoting this in reference to let them know what day it was. So this was on the 10th day of the month Tishrei, which answers to the latter part of our September and the first part of October. Now this is also the time of Michaelmas. Anybody know what Michaelmas is? Michaelmas, when winter time was coming in. Extensive wind, a lot of rain, a lot of flooding. Lord have mercy, we must be in Michaelmas 3. If they had Michaelmas, we got Michael and Michael and all the rest of them, ain't we? We got all the whole Michaelmas family. So sailing was dangerous at this time of the year, and it's also when the sign was in the Pleiades. Now, don't think I'm an astrologist, because I'm not. But remember, they did not have GPS, but they used the stars and the moon and the sun and the signs to be able to follow and chart their path. So it was the time of the end of the autumn equinox. Now, notice this and keep in mind spiritually. So it is the time of the harvest. It is the time of the atonement. It is the time when all these things are going on. And it is a time of rough sailing. But we are not going to be stopped. Let Michaelmas come. Let the fall equinox come. Let the winds come. The archipelago, let it blow. Let it do whatever. We are on our way, not to Rome, but home. Amen. The Lord hasn't told us we're going to Rome. We're going home. Paul could have confidence no matter if it was Michaelmas or autumn equinox or whatever was going on. God told him, you're standing before the Caesar at Rome, and to Rome you will go. Praise be to God. Notice now, whenever this autumn equinox comes this way, some strange things that actually happen into the Mediterranean Sea when it turns the waters, and it turns very tumultuous during this time. So the nights grew very, very long and very dark. Most of the time, they would use this as a way to chart their path whenever it would be a clear night. So the Michaelmas floods have now started to come, and the stormy months of autumn have now moved in. Why? Because the earth itself has moved into this cycle and that particular part of the earth. And here's a prophet of God, a man that has been chosen to write the most of the New Testament. And did God keep him out of this storm? No. Why didn't God send Paul on a boat that didn't have to go through this storm? And send these Roman guys on this other boat? Why didn't God have Paul to go along in a canoe and raise him right above all this, or just pick him up like he did Philip in the New Testament, just carry him over and set him down in the fair havens and said, I'll wait for y'all on the other side? Philo, actually the Jewish historian, in several passages speaks of this time as an ill time to sail. And also does Herodotus, which was a Roman. So Paul admonishes them. Now notice, he said unto them in verse 10, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Okay, now, but you are a captain. You are a captain, or you are a helmsman, or you are the owner of this ship. And you've got this locked up preacher saying that he perceives it's not a good time. So you may go ask him, so what did you do before you started preaching? I made tents. What'd you do before that? I sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned the Bible. And you are going to tell us professional captains, helmsmen, shipmen, you're going to tell us how to run our lives? I wonder sometimes, friends, if folks don't get that same frame of mind
Well, the preacher, how can Brother Donnie tell me? Brother Donnie ain't no businessman. How can he tell me how to run my business? You're right. I am not a businessman, but I can tell you how to run a business under Christian principles because I am a Christian preacher. Well, my grandpa can tell me. Your grandpa may tell you how to run a business. I'm trying to make a Christian out of you, not a businessman. Well, I'll tell you once, I'm going to business school. That's all well and good. But you might ought to listen to the preacher on board. He might save you a lot of loss. Well, hallelujah. Notice this, sirs. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now, would Paul have been knowledgeable enough to be able to know about the floods of Michaelmas and some of the things? No doubt he probably would have. But I personally believe the way that Paul words this, and from the Greek word that Luke uses, that it was by inspiration. That he was inspired to be able to tell him. Oh my. Now he's looking at the ship. He's seeing all the way. He knows enough about the wind to know the time, the Michaelmas floods and so on. But he says, I perceive. How could he have known what was going to suffer? Notice him prophesying now. The lading and of the ship. Now the way he's looking at it, it looks like even many of their lives could be lost as well. I firmly believe that Paul may be knowing beforehand that a great tumult's fixing to happen, but he knew if there's only one man alive, it had to be him because he's got to go to Rome. You believe whatever you want to believe. I believe if I'm flying on an airplane and that thing crashes and God ain't time for me to get done, everybody on there may die, but if ain't my time, I ain't going. Praise the Lord. Come on. I pray over every airplane I get on. I lay my hands on them. People may look at me queer. I don't care if they do or not. I lay my hands on them. God, man made this. Man works on it. Man flies it. But keep the angels on board, Lord, as long as I'm here. Praise be to God. You couldn't fly with nobody any safer, a Holy Ghost filled preacher, unless it's his time to go. Then you're in a fix. Now, humanly, I can imagine that Paul was not exempt from fear. Notice in the way that he's saying to service, I perceive this is going to be a bad situation for us. But where are you getting this at? You have some kind of a special GPS thing in your pocket here? Tell us about the stars and tell us about Pleiades and tell us about Michaelmas and this. And I say, well, I can't tell you none of that stuff. I don't really know anything about that. But I just perceive that this is going to be a bad situation for us. Oh, my. Nevertheless, the centurion, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by the pastor or by Paul. So he believed what grandpa said, what mama said, what uncle so-and-so said, or what brother so-and-so said. Well, my wife said this, and I believe they know more about it than Brother Donnie does. Because Brother Donnie, I mean, he ain't no businessman. I mean, Brother Donnie don't know really a lot of stuff, and he's just kind of really dense in one way. He says a lot of foolish stuff. You know, he's not very educated, not very literary, and all that sort of thing. So really, I think I'd rather take what grandpa said and this and that and the other. Go ahead, Michaelmas. Call me when you get up about here. I could have saved a lot of folks a lot of trouble. Oh, yeah. Some of you sitting right here. But you wouldn't listen. You had to go your own way and be stubborn and hard-headed. Because somebody else, the master or the owner, but God in his mercy, Peter reached down to you and grabbed a hold of you and pulled you up out of the water. Nevertheless, the centurion. Now notice this ship of life. Notice, friends, how it is for us. If we're not careful, there can be two or three other voices that will try to influence us over the voice of the anointed of God. And they will seem like more educated, more sophisticated, more logical, more sensible voices than the voice of God. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, the master was the captain or the pilot of the ship.
The person who then, they also called him the helmsman, who occupied in the ancient ships the place that was very close to the front or in the stern. He steered the ship and gave directions to the crew. Now, this is kind of an odd type of situation because this captain is not the only one that is a man of authority, but the owner of the ship himself. No doubt he wished time this got done, he went to the Bahamas for a weekend instead of on board with the ship with his preacher. He was scheduled to go down to Bermuda or somewhere down there, and he wound up taking this business cruise, and he thought he wished he'd stayed at the house. Oh, my. So the owner of the ship, which had been a different person from the master, and the master said, "No. What'd you say this guy done? I mean, he's a prisoner. What's he done?" "Oh, he's a preacher or something. Preaching something about a message and some pillar of fire and some light." And well, see, the man's crazy. I mean, anybody tells you right there, anybody that follows, they say a light hanging over the man or something like that. Yeah, there's a light hanging over him. And when he got baptized, a voice come out of heaven or something. And I think he was out there in Arizona too, maybe, 2,000 years after that. He was out there in Arizona on Finger Rock. A bunch of angels come down. But you know what? We've not been able to scientifically prove there's an angel nowhere around. And we've tried to scientifically prove a lot of this stuff, and we can't prove very bit of it. Well, see, right there, the man's out of his mind. And then the owner of the ship come up and say, "Hey man, I got a bunch of money invested in all this grain. I need to get over. If I can get over just right, the stock exchange up there in Rome, man, I'm going to land this at really good time. We need to press forward on this if there's any way possible." And the centurion says, "Go for it." So you imagine Paul with his change just goes back and sits down and says, "I tried to tell you." As for me, I'll be all right. But I'm kind of concerned about you guys. You see, the Lord God spoke to me years ago when I was a young preacher. I was about 20. Preaching to Pentecostals. Even then, they didn't like me. I always preached things that got me in trouble. But the Lord spoke to me. I was crying one night after service. People had sat on me a little bit. And I was crying, praying, "Oh God, I don't want to be a preacher." He said, "Here we go again. Donnie gets stuck on this thing. I don't want to be a preacher." And the Spirit of God came to me where I was. And he said, "You preach my word. I'll bless you no matter what they do. You stand for me, I'll stand for you. And I'll bless you." And he quoted to me what he told Ezekiel. "I'll make your face as that of flint. I'll make you, no matter what they do, they turn to the left or to the right, you stand for my word and I'll stand with you." Friends, let me tell you something. I'm now 61 years old. I have seen that for decades in my life. Amen. There's times I've had to stand for things, and many of you stood with me because many of you have been here with a long time. And we've stood together on principles that nearly got us killed. But you know what? We've seen our God stand right here with us. I believe if we stand there with him, he'll do the same thing. He'll continue to do the same thing. Now, Paul knows within his heart God is going to allow him. But you know what? Because Paul is now associated in this ship, he can be put in certain difficulties because of the situation he's in. The same thing can happen to you and I. All it takes is one member in your family to get out of the will of God. It can throw the whole family into a great dilemma, and you can be thrown into it because you're associated with that family. It can be the same thing in a church. One church member get out of line with God and go to bringing sin in the church or bring great reproach on the church. And because you are identified with them, you suffer because of their neglect or their lack of responsibility. Why? Because we are associated together. Are we going to be saved? Absolutely. When it's all said and done, oh my, we're going to be there. I just get kind of tore up when I'm in the same ship as some of them. Hey, you know what? I can control my life. I can control the way I live. I can control my prayers. I can control what I do. But I ain't got no control over you all.
because you know me well enough to know I'm not going to be a dictator. I'm not coming to your house and say, why ain't you coming to church? What's going on with you, you sorry outfit? You ain't been coming to church. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. I'm not going to do that. If I've got to be your Holy Ghost, you don't know God. There ought to be something inside of you itself that says, you know what? We need to pray. We need to read our Bibles. We need to go to church. We need to listen to the messenger there. Come on, saints. If I've got to beg you in and I've got to baby you in, there's something wrong with you. But because we're in the same ship, your moves affect me. Praise the Lord. You know what causes me some of my greatest disappointment? My greatest burdens? People. My sheep. My sheep who don't come to church or don't live right or don't do what I tell them, and I give my life every time I preach. And we're in a no-care attitude. People don't even care no more. But you know what? I'm going on. With you or without you? I'm going to grab a boat. If this whole thing blows up, whatever more, I'm grabbing a piece of oar. I'm grabbing a plank on the side. I'm going home. I said, I'm going home. We may lose some tackle along the way. We may lose some lading along the way. But these people of God are going on. Oh, my. Now, this ship owner had employed this master. And no doubt he must have been a pretty good sort of a guy, pretty much knew what was going on, so his counsel is greatly regarded. So you think of it in your, you know, in your situation. So you're boarding up a 747, you're fixing to fly from Atlanta to Paris, and the pilot's on there, the co-pilot, and depending on what model the 747 is, how many more people they got in there, maybe three or four guys, and you know, they've been through years and years and years of training, and the Holy Ghost preacher stands up right in front and said, we're going to have a problem here at the end of the runway. If I was you all, I'd go the other way. He said, right. And he spits out some big four-barrel word to this. And he said, can you spell that? He said, I can't even say it. But the Holy Ghost told me we better not go this way. Yeah, right. Go back here and sit down. We're fixing to throw you out of here, buddy. You think they'd listen to you? Of course not. Well, that's the way it is with life. People have these great plans, these great things they're going to do in their life. And they're so tremendous. And God puts a little two before preacher up there and say, you better stay away from this, and you better stay away from that. Brother Donnie, I'm trying to find the will of God about life. Look, friends, most of the time it's very simple. You're looking at a new job, look at it in one simple way. Can you keep Jesus first if you take that new job? Can you keep Jesus first if you get involved in this sports and that sports and that sports? Or will you have to start missing Saturday night and then Sunday morning and then Wednesday night? Hey, look, it's not a great big complicated thing. You don't have to go on a 40-day fast. Ask yourself the question and look at it in reality. Can Jesus be kept first in everything I do? If he can't, it's not the will of God. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. But people will come back, well, my plant manager said I should do this, and whoever said that I should do it, and the pastor said, if you can't put God first, you better watch it now, you better not. Well, that's just Brother Donnie, poor guy, he's a Kentuckian, he's a hillbilly, he don't know nothing. Really? Apparently God don't share your view. Now, I'm neither the master, nor the pilot, nor the owner. I'm one of the under-roarsmen. I'm down on the bottom of the galley. But it just so happens I have the owner's ear. And the owner has mine. I don't own this old ship of Zion. He does. Woo. Now, they look at him, and you imagine, I said, well, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Go over and sit down. Okay. All right. And they all kind of get together and say, can you imagine? These kooks, I mean, they're crazy. They've told me up at their church they preach against television. You got to be kidding. Yeah. I got a letter not long ago from somebody here locally in Johnson City, and they'd heard a portion of a sermon that I'd preached against makeup. As a woman, of course. She liked to bloat her wig.
She couldn't believe a preacher action this day preached against Mecca. And on that same sermon, I preached against women wearing breeches. So she had went and talked to her preacher, of course, and he said, yes, we know about that church. And we know about that man. Pity them. Don't pity us. Because when you're frying, I'll be flying. Hey, look, friends. I saw a picture of a bomb this week. A missile. That Russia has. But they said they can annihilate nations with one. Brother Don, don't that scare you? Not at all. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone. Where are you going? Home. While everybody else is joining to Rome, we're going home. Notice now, because the haven was not commodious to enter in. Notice again now Luke's terminology, maritime terminology. Because the haven was not commodious. Now, you know what? There's parts like this in our life, Brother Darrell, that we get there and, oh my, we love this haven. We love it, but really, when you look at it geographically where this is, it's a very small place. It's not very big. Don't last very long. You go through the storms of life, and then you get into the fair haven, and you blink your eyes, and you're out and gone tomorrow. And you say, what happened to the fair haven? You went through it last night when you was asleep. And then you wake up the next morning, you're out. So this is a good place. It's a wonderful place for refreshing. It's a good place to calm down. It's a good place, but it's not a good place to enter. You've got to be stable. You've got to have a place. If you're going to win her, if you're going to come through the storms, you better have stability. Amen. And because the haven was not commodious to enter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. If by any means I might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete. And lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Now notice, remember the Song of Solomon now. So they're getting between the north and the south. And these clashing of these winds are going on in their life. Oh my. And this prophet of God is now in the middle of the boat or the ship with these other people who were out of the will of God. But he's not out of the will of God because he didn't choose to be there. Isn't that strange? You can be right in the middle of stuff going on. The church can be going through the awfulest time that ever was. Your family can be going through the most difficult time that ever was. But it wasn't your choice that got you there. It wasn't your fault that got you there. And yet right in the middle of it, right with them, you've got a peace that somehow God's going to bring you through. It's up to you. If you want to be tore all to pieces and roller coastering up and down, it's up to you. But if you can have a revelation of the will of God, I'm part of the family. I'm affected by this. I'm part of the church. I'm affected by this, but this one comes, this one goes, whatever more. I'm heading home. Amen. I'm heading home. Some of y'all want to leave. Some of you want to do this, that, the other. That's up to you, but I'm heading home. Amen. So the majority. Now notice that we got the master and we got the ship owner. And then the more part. So here we got the majority of the people on the ship. So we've got all these experienced hands. So you got these guys that's got this marine look about them. They've sailed the seven seas. Boy, they've done this, that, and other. And the whole church, I mean, they're all agreeing. Let's do it. Them old sailors, yeah, we can do it. Let's go. So they all advise to do it except for the preacher. That's generally the way it is. He's generally outnumbered. Oh, they said, we can make it. Well, we can make it. Why, you don't have to live this strict godly life. You folks are missing out on so much fun. We're all going to rapture together. We're all going, really? Not if you don't come through the Day of Atonement.
Will you separate yourself? Oh my. Can we go on? Well, these waters are starting to get rough, ain't they? Y'all feeling it? Oh my. So this is a much better harbor, and it's really not that far away. We should be able to go through it. Now remember, keep in mind the church. So the church heads out. Oh my. The voyage neglected in the summer, now to be tackled in the winter. God has seasons for our lives. And sometimes when we miss the season, we bring these storms on ourselves. Verse 13, and we'll close here momentarily. And when the south wind blew softly. Now watch. If you're in the garden, as we've been looking at on the weekend, and the south wind is blowing, that's a good sign. But if you're on the sea, and the south wind is blowing, you're in trouble. Now watch what the south wind does when you're on the sea. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. So the south wind on the sea can now be the deceiving factor that leads you to believe you're in the will of God. So they all agree unanimously except for the preacher. And they move out of the port, and here they come. Now they're out in the main ship lane, so they come out through there. And you know what? Here comes that southern wind. Oh, the southern wind comes, and then they look and say, see there? Brother Don, we didn't know what he was talking about. See there? Brother Adam didn't know what he was talking about. Well, the pastor didn't know. The evangelist didn't know. Even though God had him to tell you what you was talking about before you come to church. That don't mean anything. See, it proves he didn't know what he was talking about. Here's the south wind. So here it goes. These experienced helmsmen and boatsmen, they all look at each other and smile. And say, so the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Loosing thence, they sail close by Crete. So what's the south wind doing? Coaxing them. Come on. Some boy trying to pull you out of church, sister. Some girl trying to pull you out of church, brother. Something in your life trying to pull you out of church, coaxing you out of the will of God. Oh, it don't always come as a north boisterous wind with tumultuous waves and all that. Many times it's a south wind blowing against you, and it blows softly and gently. Oh, it won't matter. It don't matter. I mean, just a little bit. He preaches too much anyway. Why, you didn't preach one time, and that's enough to last you all week long. You don't need to pray. You don't need to read your Bible. What's the matter with you? And that soft wind. Oh my, if I didn't know better, I'd think was on the Bahamas. Man, we're on this Disney cruise. Wow. Buckle up, Jonah. Let me close with this. So the south wind blows softly, they launch out. Now when they've gone out too far to turn around and come back. Then Luke says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Jeroclicidon. You thought Donnie was bad. This old boy right here is tough. I'm a Boy Scout compared to this Don. Friends, isn't this just like life? When Satan will coax you into doing something contrary to the will of God and let the wind blow you softly and gently right out into the mainstream of the waterway, and you're there, and all of a sudden, Lord God. This is a Greek word which means typhonic wind.
not from the name of a country or from whence it blew, rather from typho, the same word used as python, the python snake. It was a heathen deity that supposedly was drowned in the lake of Sabonius near the river Orontos, which places this sort of wind to be observed during this frequent time. So they thought this god died in the lake, and he's been mad ever since. God help us. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Let's stand. We'll resume this journey next week, Lord God. Oh my. You know, when I was looking at this, I couldn't keep from thinking about people that I've seen over the years. My tenure here with you, 3 decades. People that we've seen come and go through this church. We've seen enough people come and go through this church to build 2 or 3 more churches the same size as this one. Many of them have moved to other places, of course, still serving God, still living for the Lord. Many of them have moved to different places, backslid. Many of them went to another church because they didn't like the way I preached or whatever more. Some of them ain't even serving God, don't even believe in God no more. Why? Something blowed them out of the port. They didn't listen to the teaching of a man that they felt was unqualified. The point is not really whether or not you think men of God are qualified. It's whether God thinks they are. You might want to look and see what God commits to their care and figure in your mind, is God going to commit precious souls that he redeemed into the hands of men who are reprobates? And you call that a loving father? God loves you so much, he's going to put you into the hands of a reprobate preacher that's leading you to hell? What kind of daddy you got? That's not my father. Our God never put this message into the hands of a false prophet. Give him gifts like no other man ever had on the earth except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Give him more supernatural than all the Bible put together. And then turn that over to a false prophet knowing he's going to lead us to hell blindly to a bunch of hypocrites? That's not my God. My God commits his word and his supernatural and all that to the hands of sincere, honest men that's going to be able to lead the bride of Christ. Real, true bodyguards. Amen. Oh my. Lord, children, may God help us. May God help us. When we get into these decision times of our lives and we feel the nudging of that south wind and it softly, gently blows us, and no farther than we're out under the main shipping lane, here comes the typhoon, the tempestuous winds. This goes on for days and days. There's no stars at night. It is so thick and so overcast, they don't see the sun. They don't see the moon. They don't see the stars. They don't know where they are. There's no way to guide themselves. That's where folks get when they get out of the will of God. They lose the north, they lose the south, they have no place to be able to pivot from. They can't see the north stars, so they don't know which direction to go. So Luke says that they let her. Notice how he says, and when the ship was caught, we could not bear up into the wind. We let her, again, maritime language, we let her. Most ships, you never call a ship a man, it's a female. We let her drive. In other words, we just let her go. There's nothing we can do. So we're just out there blowing around. We don't know what to do. We can't go back to church because we don't fit there. We can't go to the honky-tonks because we don't fit there. We don't know what to do. So we're just tossed back and forth, back and forth. We don't know what to do. So we just let her drive. Why? Because it didn't listen to the pastor on board the ship. God gave them a pastor on board the ship. But you know what? They didn't recognize him as being their pastor.
Look, friends, if you don't know who your pastor is, you need to get a revelation from God.
Yes, sir.
And when you find out where it's at, lay with it and stand with him. Stand with him. If I'm not ordained to be your pastor, go wherever your pastor is and get behind the man with all of your heart, knowing that Brother Bam tells us in 1960, Oncoming Storms of Judgment, in Phoenix, he said that as ministers, we will stand there and be judges, and we will judge people, and their destination will be determined according to their attitude by the gospel we have preached to them. For your own sake, don't make me stand against you at the day of judgment. I'm not a businessman. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an educated man. I'm not a smart man. But I'm a born again man. Yes. Led of the Holy Ghost. As long as I'm staying with the Word. Stay with the Word with me. Listen to my advice. I'm never going to try to advise you wrong. If I do, it's going to be ignorant. And if I do, God will correct it.
Amen.
Stay in the ship, friends. Stay in the ship. And maybe at times you think we need to sail. But if the pastor feels led to go the other way, let's harbor. Let's harbor. Amen. Why? We need that leading of the Lord. Don't you love him? Oh, praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, my. Lord Jesus, I know for myself as a Christian, Lord, I've been on such ships, either with family members or believer friends or our church, when our church would go through difficult times. Maybe it wasn't necessarily my fault by which it was brought on. Other times it was. But because we're in the same ship together, we all face the winds, the water, the driving of the ship, and we don't know what to do at times. And we just let her go. We don't let her go into the wind as it was then, but we let her go into the hands of God. And say, God, we trust the outcome to you. We've all stood like this master and this ship owner before in decisions that we've made in our lives, Lord. And we can look back and realize how foolish they were. If we would have listened to him sometimes to the preaching of the word, just a little bit of counsel or advice, it would have saved us so much difficulty. But you know how we are. We're stubborn. We're hard-headed. Forgive us, Lord. Somehow, in spite of all of that, you still love us. And we are so grateful that you do, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're the only one that knows the hearts of all these people here tonight. Those that are visible, those that are invisible, I pray that you'd minister to every heart. Maybe some are still in Sidon and they're thinking about making some sort of decision. Maybe some have left Sidon and they've went up and they've changed ships and they've caught a ship from Alexandria. They've been able to make it to the Fair Havens and or they're really feeling they need to go this way or that way, and maybe a little still small voice, maybe a tape they heard, maybe some words just dropped right here tonight. I confess, I don't know too much, but I know enough about you to know you were speaking to somebody tonight. More than one, I'm sure. Make us sensitive, Lord, to your voice. Lord, then maybe some of them, they overrode it, and they wound up, dear God, that southern wind, southerly blowing breeze come through, and it just coaxed them right out of the will of God. Things seemed to be working okay, and it seemed to be all right. No longer than they got blowed out of the port, out of the place of safety, this great tempestuous storm came. The typhoon began to blow the waves, and it was so immediate and so dangerous. And they were right in the middle of it, and they couldn't get out. Be merciful to them, Lord. If it's a preacher, if it's a deacon, if it's a trustee, a layperson, whoever it is, a young man, young woman, dear God, may you move in their life. I find this so amazing, Lord, that here's a man of God that's in the middle of this ship and riding on there and going through the difficulties on the decision made by somebody else. He never even made it. It was against his own judgment to do so.
And yet he is feeling the difficulty because of their wrong decision. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, Father. We love you tonight, Lord. We know, Lord, sometimes you calm the storms. And then there's other times you calm us. That's the way it happened in this occasion. As we'll look at it next week, Lord willing, you didn't calm the storm. You didn't drive back the storm. But Paul, after much abstinence, stood up before the men and said to them, "Sirs," in other words, as we'd understand it, "you should have listened to me. But now listen. Hallelujah. The angel of God in whom I am and whom I serve has stood beside me this night and let me know no one will perish." Praise God. It was their decision that got them in this mess. But it's the presence of a gifted man of God that's going to get them out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we was in such a mess in Laodicea. And what did you do? You sent us a prophet on board the ship. Lord, was all sick as it was. And Lord, it was so dark and we didn't know what to do. But you sent us a prophet with a message. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We had to change our values. We had to change many things about us. But it was going to be through that prophet's message that was going to be saved. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you tonight, Father. No matter what we've given up, no matter what it's cost us, Lord, we thank you for that man of God that climbed up on this boat one day. We thank you for that prophet of God that was born and sent to us, Father, in the time of darkness and the storms everywhere. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't know which way to turn. Amen. But he stood up with a message and said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." My, I can imagine how those men must have felt when Paul stood up there and said, "Be of good cheer. You got to be kidding me. They are so sick. They're tore all to pieces." And this man stands there and says, "Be of good cheer. There will be no life lost if you abide in the ship." Amen. We'll lose the lading, we'll lose the mass, we'll lose the sails, we'll lose the cargo, but there'll be no life lost. We may lose our pride, we may lose our arrogance, we may lose this and that and the other, but there'll be no eternal life lost. Amen. You won't lose one of yours, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father. Oh, Lord, with every head bowed here tonight, you know where you are, friends, in your journey. Maybe you're off the coast of Crete or in the fair havens, or you just left Sidon out of the port. Or maybe you're out in your Aqueladon. You don't know what to do. It's been so dark for days and weeks and months now. You don't know which way's north, which way's south. You don't know what to do. Listen, I believe God's got a message for you. A message to tell you what to do. It may cost you something. It may cost you something because of this decision. But you won't lose your life. Praise God. You'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Raising your hand to me, you know, has no significance whatsoever. I can't help you. But just to show the Lord, would you just raise your hand to God? God knows where each of us are. Amen. Lord, help me. Lord, I stand in one of the most dangerous positions of anybody in this church. The men here, Father, that are married and they make a decision, it may affect them and their wife. And if they have children, it may affect their children. It may not go much farther than that. Lord, if I make a decision, if I make a decision, the church is going this way or that way, or we're going this direction or that direction, that decision can affect hundreds of people. Then those, Lord, around the world that would stream our services, there might be an element out there that would be affected. Help me, Lord God.
Help me, Lord Jesus, to stay true, genuine on your word. Help me, Father, that I'll never use my influence in the wrong way, Lord. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me honest and sincere, Lord. Help us, Father. Help me, Lord God, that I'll never lead Happy Valley into such a typhoon. Lord, if it's your word that takes us there, then we're fine. We're out in the will of God. Lord, help me to never lead the people there. Help nobody here that ever bring the church to that spot. Father, may we avoid all these things as much as possible. Go exactly where you want us to go. We know life cannot be just full of fair havens from one fair haven to another. Life is not going to be full of the gentle south wind blowing. Lord, Satan will be there to try to snare us and tempt us and get us out of the will of God. But we are so grateful that you will not lose us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As you was there, your merciful hand that beckoned Peter to come out of the boat when Peter's faith is so strong. He stepped out of his comfort zone, and then the circumstances around him, fear overwhelmed him, Lord. And then he fell. We all know the story. But you, by your grace, did not let Peter drown. In one sense of the word, he deserved it, just like we do many times. But yet you and your grace overrode what Peter deserved, and you reached down and picked him up. Hallelujah. Peter never got to relive that miracle. I wonder how many times that he's thought about it over and over again. That he thought, Lord, could you let me repair that? Could you let me do that one more time? So not so much that I could be proud and arrogant, but Lord, I failed in that one. Could you let me do it again? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us tonight, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, minister to every heart. Go out on this internet, Lord, those that have streamed tonight. May the presence of God go there in their homes, their automobiles at work, wherever they are, Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, I feel you reaching out to your children. Oh, Lord, you know how we are as humans, that we make the wrong choice. Father, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. Redeem us from those bad choices. Abraham made a terrible choice going down the land of Egypt, but you was not going to let him be lost down there. You had to redeem him and bring him out. Oh, thank you, Father. Move forever heart here tonight, I pray, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Oh, blessed Lord God. Heavenly Father, I'm thanking tonight, Lord, by the Potter's family. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd strengthen them and help them, Lord. Lord, our brother preaching on Sunday and go out to eat and then come back for the evening service. Forgot something in his car and went out to get it before he was going to preach. And he went home. Massive heart attack and passed there, Lord. We never know what hour you'll call us. Oh, Jesus, help us to be ready. Lord, and he wanted to come over and meet with me and talk with me on Monday. But I was thinking about it today. We wasn't able to keep that appointment. But the way I look at it, Lord, we'll just have to reschedule it. Hallelujah. I don't know what he had on his heart. I don't know what he wanted to talk to me about. But we'll have to reschedule that meeting. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, may we be ready every hour too. We don't know what day, what moment, what hour you're going to call us. But we want to be ready, Lord. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands, saints, in the presence of God? Oh, maybe your boat of life has got you so tore up and you feel so sick and so nauseated tonight with life. You're just so sick of where you are and so sick with the decisions that you've made. You realize you've made such a mess of your life. May the Spirit of God bring you help. May he bring you what you have need of tonight, as only he can do. Praise be to God. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise be to God. You love him with all your heart? Tell me, friends, who but Jesus could take a nautical, maritime story of historical points and historical cities and turn it into such a service?
Who but Jesus? Don't look up here and say, Brother Donnie, you done. No, no, no. No, no, no. Brother Donnie deserves no glory. Only Jesus can take a preacher and take a story that you've read since you was a little bitty child in Sunday school and turn it into such a drama. Some of y'all have turned into green on me tonight. I thought I was going to have to hand out the Dramamine because it was so real. You know who did that? Jesus Christ carried you on that sea. Jesus Christ related, Brother Dow, some of the same storms you've been through in your life. That's why all credit and praise and honor goes to Him. No preacher. No preacher. I said no preacher. It goes to the Lord Jesus. He's the one who's worthy of all credit, all praise, all adoration, everything of our lives. Oh, praise God. Don't you love Him, children? Oh, hallelujah. Let Him be the shipmaster of your life. You may be right out in the middle of that great typhoon, but turn your ship over to Jesus. Amen. You know why? You know the master of the wind. You know the master of the wind. You may have made a wrong turn. You went right when you should have went left, or vice versa. He understands how we are as humans. He wants to help us. Praise be to God. Amen. Can you sing that for us, Harry? I know the master of the wind. Can we just sing just a little bit before we go? Oh my, it won't be just a few weeks. School will start back up. We'll have to watch our time a little bit more on Wednesday night. But while school's still out, let's just stay a little longer. What do you say? Brother Donnie, I go to work. I dismiss you and some of you go out there and stand for 45 minutes and talk. I'd rather you be here 45 minutes extra in the presence of God than stand there. It'd do you a lot more good. Amen. Let's sing it together, shall we? Amen. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of rain. He can calm the storm. Oh my, shine again. I know the master of. Everybody together now, chorus. Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. My boat of life. My boat of life sails on the troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns in, sunshine again. I know the master of. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, bring me low, but never brings me down. Everybody! Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again.
make the sun shine again. I know the master of Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love him tonight, saints? Brother Darrell, God bless you, buddy. Glad to have you in service with us tonight. Won't you come and dismiss us in prayer? And we appreciate the Lord and his mercy to us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. It's certainly wonderful to know that he's done said we're going to the other side. Amen. To step into the boat, we're going to the other side. So there's no wind, no matter how much the sails were torn, the oars were broke, or how much the boat fills with water, we're going to the other side. Amen. So we know the storms of life are never put here to destroy us, but to mold a character in us that's fit to reign. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know that the storms we face will not destroy us, but they will mold us. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. Certainly count it an honor to be here this evening in the house of God. Let's just bow our heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful, dear God, that your word is a roadmap to us, Lord. That even God, that sometimes in our thinking, Lord, in our understanding, in our comprehension, Lord, we think surely we should go this way. And yet, Lord, it would be the wrong way. Yet you and your mercy and your love and your grace would redirect us, Lord, and take the wrong turn and somehow make it work out right in our lives, Lord. And Father, we're just so grateful for that tonight, that we can just look to you, Lord God, knowing that we don't have a GPS, but we do have a G-O-D. You promised you'd never leave us, nor would you forsake us, Lord. Father, we know, Lord, there's many storms of life, God, and many times, Lord, that the hail will fall and the winds will blow. God, we are so grateful to know that you are in the ship, Lord. The same Lord Jesus that was in the boat that night when they crossed the stormy sea, that same Lord Jesus is in the boat tonight, the old ship of Zion. Lord, the prophet said, we'll crest every wave, Lord. Father, we just ask now that you go with us, Lord, and those who would have a need, the sick, Lord, some not able to come tonight, homesick, Father, I just ask you, Lord, may you touch them, God. Lord, may your healing touch just move upon them, and by the rising of the sun, Lord, may there be a testimony that you come, Lord, and spoke in the midst of their storms, dear God. Father, be with each of us as we travel on our way home. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord. Renew his strength. We thank you, Father, for this instructions tonight. And Lord, that we can just look into the Bible and see these things. And yet, Lord, you can come by your Spirit, Lord, and take them out of the pages of the Bible and make them so real, Lord, that we can almost feel the wind blowing in our faces. We just thank you for that, Father. We just ask now you go with us in the name of the Lord Jesus. For thy glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord this evening. Amen.
I know the master of